I consider tonight a special evening. We understand and we believe that God knows and is in control of every worship service. He plans it, He orchestrates it as He sees best. Today I struggled a little bit. I had the sermon picked out for tonight before I left home. I struggled a little bit throughout the day. My thoughts seemed somewhat scattered. I wasn't sure if the sermon for tonight was for tonight or not. And I decided that yes, it was. It is for tonight. I felt that deep peace in my heart. Normally, I bring my Bible case with me. I have another sermon tucked away in my Bible case. On the way here, I saw that I had not brought my Bible case. So I came with one sermon tonight. Brother Delbert stood up and said he's going to read from Psalm 84. That is my text for tonight, Psalm 84. There's something in Psalm 84 that God wants us to learn, I believe. Thank you, Brother Delbert, for reading Psalm 84. You did not know what the Lord had laid on my heart, and neither did I know what the Lord had laid on your heart. The title of the message tonight is Trials Redeemed. Trials Redeemed. Psalm 84, as our brother had read for us, as I understand it, is a picture of the pilgrim making his way to Zion, to the place of worship. In his way, he passes through a valley. And as Brother Delbert told us, it's a valley of weeping and bitter trial. It is possibly referring to the valley of Rephaim. In this valley are the balsam trees, which out of it oozes a tear-like gum. It is a picture of a valley of suffering and sorrow. Earth life has troubles, doesn't it? Earth life has pain and sorrow. There is pain, suffering, death. There's financial losses. There are losses of health. 3 years ago, around this time, my nephew, around 20 years old, passed away as a result of injuries in an accident. If you would have told me that I would travel from Pennsylvania to Massachusetts 4 times in 1 month, I would have said no. But that's what we did. As we accompanied my brother and his wife up to the hospital in Massachusetts where the accident had taken place, or very close there to Massachusetts. One of our journeys there, traveling up 95 before we got to the city where it's real busy, we're taking our van, and our van all of a sudden went into limp mode. And it was a day that we needed to get there. The doctors wanted to talk. There were things that needed to be discussed. Our van went into limp mode. So we pulled off at a gas station. I made a phone call to my mechanic, talked to him about it. He gave me some suggestions, and we prayed. And we set out again for New York City, for Massachusetts. We needed to go through the heart of New York City. And I was anxious. If you've ever driven through New York City, you don't want a van that goes into limp mode. It's just something you don't want. But we had no other choice. The Lord saw fit to take us the whole way to Massachusetts and the whole way back home to Mount Holly, New Jersey, where we met my brother and his wife. Never once did the van go into limp mode. I considered that a miracle. No part of me, I didn't fix anything. It was late at night. Well, I say late, I'm not sure. Maybe it was 10 o'clock or later. My wife and I left where we met my brother and his wife in New Jersey. We got out in the pet. We didn't even get, no, we just left the parking lot. We went just a few miles and the van went into limp mode. Before, we had tried to shut the van off and reset the computer, start it again, and see how far. That's what we did at that point. And sometimes we could go fairly far, but this time, no. It went into limp mode. We drove the whole way from Mount Holly, New Jersey on the turnpike, the whole way home in limp mode. I was looking more in my rearview mirror than I was looking straight ahead, because I needed to watch vehicles coming behind me. I had the four ways on, but we were going, at best, we could get up to maybe 50 mile an hour or 55. We were going downhill, but usually it was 35 mile an hour. And traffic flies on the turnpike. But we made it home. The credit doesn't go to me, but I give God all the glory in that. That's just one instance of our life. Yes, my nephew passed away, the pain and suffering. But we have these experiences in life. We have experiences where individuals, well, let me phrase it this way, we have experiences where we are responsible and we leave other people down. There are instances where other people leave us down and we are hurt and wondering, what is in this for me? Where am I going from here? The pilgrim going to Zion, in his journey there, is passing through the valley of Baca. Our text, verse 5 and 6. Blessed is the man of Psalm 84. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. Verse 7. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. I would like to look, first of all, here at the traveler. You see, first of all, in Genesis chapter 3, verses 16 to 21 is the account of man, account of God talking to man, Adam and Eve, after they had fallen into sin. And he is telling them that the ground is going to be cursed because of what has happened. You are going to now, Adam, you are going to be digging up thistles and briars, and there's going to be pain in your life. Eve, when you have childbirth, it's going to be painful. The curse passed upon the earth and upon man. And I think it's important for us to understand that pain and suffering and death as a result of sin was not the original plan of God. Yes, God knew. But that was not God's original design for man. I don't know how to explain this to you any better than I'll just try to explain it in my simple mind. What we experience today in the hurts and pains and disappointments in life is directly related to the curse and the fall of mankind, the pain and suffering. Sovereign, our sovereign God and Lord, he knows it all. And he can intervene at any moment and change the course of anything. But he also leaves the process of fallen humanity work. And I believe that at times God is there and he is just seeing, and his heart is touched as we are grieving and pained. And it is in these times we call out to God and grapple for meaning. I don't know where you are tonight. I do not know what God has in store for us. I do not know why he called on both of us to speak on this tonight. But the traveler loved God, and he longed to worship in Zion. And tonight, what I am about to tell you in the next 15, 20 minutes are the burden of this message, the purpose, the burden, is to encourage us to remain strong in faith through trying times. Just simply that. Remain strong. Young people, older people, it is in these trying times of pain and suffering and anguish, when men and women are tempted to take their eyes off of Jesus and to put it into something else, and they become addicted and become in bondage to various things. Alcohol. I talked with a man a couple years ago who, whenever he faced a painful experience, he would go get another tattoo. Tonight I want to lift up to you, go to the secret place of the Most High. Psalm 91 and verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Where is the secret place? Did you ever wonder where the secret place is? If you're to go there, how do you go there? Brother Dwayne Whitmer said this one time, and it resonated with me, and I agree with him. He that dwelleth in the secret place, is where your mind goes for refuge in times of distress, in times of struggle, where you just get that phone call and, oh my, the weight falls. The secret place is where your mind goes. The secret place of holiness, it's that cleft in the rock where your mind goes in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. The traveler had a relationship with God. Psalm 84, verse 8, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer, give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Verse 9, behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. Could be speaking there, I believe, of the Messiah, the anointed one. But this traveler had come to know God. This traveler is on his way to Zion, and he fell under hard times. I would like to give you four points or keys to experiencing the rain filling the pools. The rain filling the pools, the coolness. You know, as I studied this, it says here in Psalm 84 and verse 6, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. And it has the idea here of passing through. And there are a lot of things in life where it is a season and we pass through. And things get better again. I wish that I could tell you that that's how it's going to be all the time. But there are some times where there is no passing through the experience. It is just simply digging in and just pulling for life. The burden is there. But what the burden of the message tonight is, that in that burden, can we allow ourselves to trust in the Lord, lean on Him, and experience rest. True rest. Where this experience does not need to crush us into despair and discouragement, depression, and the list goes on. Number one, keys to experiencing the rain filling the pools. A trusting heart anchored in Jesus Christ. A trusting heart that is anchored in Jesus Christ. What are we trusting in? Well, we're trusting in Jesus Christ, as it said in Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2. Dwells in the secret place, we're dwelling there. This trust is an anchor to the soul. You can look up Hebrews 6 and verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Trusting in the Lord, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. Verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee and whose heart are the ways of them. A trusting heart finds comfort in the security of a changeless God. A trusting heart is a heart that understands its accountability to God. We are accountable to God. A trusting heart in God is a key in redeeming hardships, because it is in God, the very essence of life, that deliverance comes. A trusting heart in God is a key in redeeming hardships, because it is in God that the very essence of life, that deliverance comes. A man whose wife was suffering from cancer had this to say. I heard him say this. He himself had a conversation with another man who he knew, who had a similar journey. And he knew that man, they had found particular success with a certain doctor they had found. And he decided to ask him about it. And the answer that that gentleman gave to the other gentleman whose wife was suffering, they both are in the same situation, said, you know, I think it really has more to do about God than anything else. Transparent openness. Yes, we have responsibilities, and yes, we discern and we choose. But God is sovereign over all. Why did God choose that the morning I was going to work and it was dense, there was dense fog, and I was traveling to work, and through the dense fog, I all of a sudden noticed a vehicle just whiz in front of me, and I was okay? Why did that happen? And the other week, there were three young men who were snuffed out of life very quickly. Why did those things happen? We do well not to focus on the why, but we do well to be prepared to go at any moment. Number two, experiencing the rain filling the pools. Oh, this is a hard one, but it is an acceptance where peace is found, an accepting heart. God can use the heart that accepts the pain of its experience to touch the lives of others. You have two choices tonight. In the hard experience that you're going through, you have a choice to curl up in bitterness, or you have a choice to allow it to make you better. And to allow it to influence and to touch the lives of others for their betterment. Accepting the disappointments that come along in life are not easy. When dreams are shattered and hopes are gone, our heart grapples for meaning and security. Job said, "The Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." One of the keys to turning the valley of Baca into a well is to understand that God's purpose is greater than our present disappointment. Yes, God is about to do things, and that almost contradicts what I had said earlier. But God knows all things. We understand that. He knows it all. And not all things are easy to accept. In acceptance lieth peace. I can't say it any more simple than that. Acceptance lieth peace. My father, when he passed away here in October, was an example to us family of one who accepted. One day, he was in the hospital for a little while, maybe a week or so, I forget. It wasn't real long, but he was not getting better. And one day, the doctor called me at work and said that your father has said that he is a man of faith and he's ready to go. And he wants to have everything taken off, and as soon as you can get here, the better, basically. We did a conference call as a family just so we could understand exactly what he's saying. And my father was ready to go, and he faced death with excitement, almost. He looked at me at one point, he said, "This isn't too bad." He said, "I wasn't sure what to expect, but this isn't going too bad." Man was dying. He accepted his lot. I'll never forget coming in beside his bedside after that morning. If I was, I'm not sure if I was the first one beside his bed or not, but he was excited. He was excited, and he said, and he wanted me to have a pen and paper, and he said, "I want you to write some things down that you're going to need to know for after I'm gone." And I told my wife, here's the pen, here's the paper, you write. I'm going to listen and try to get exactly what he's saying, because this is important. We need to get it right. But after he got that off his chest, he relaxed. And he accepted. But you know, we needed to accept it too. We needed to accept his decision. We needed to accept it. But it was in accepting it that peace was found. Number three, a focused heart. A focused heart. Plowing or working land. A number of you probably know about that. You're plowing a straight furrow. You pick something out at the other end and you look at it and you go straight forward. Maybe you're tractors now have GPS and all that, and you do not need to do that. Maybe you can do other things while you're plowing. I'm not sure how it is today anymore. But a focus, a resolve. A focus on the valley will produce discouragement and despair. The pilgrimage of the narrow way will take us through some valleys. It is not the appearance of the valleys that determine our ability to arrive at Zion, but our response to them. You know, the safety, when you're in a storm, the most important thing is to be in something that is stronger than the storm. To have your trust in, to be in something that's stronger than the storm. Well, how is that done in a spiritual sense? We must focus on the promises of God. God has promised that I will never leave thee or forsake thee, Hebrews 13:5. Yes, this is for the Christian, the one who has called out and accepted Jesus as their personal Savior. These are the promises for that individual. As we heard the other night in Matthew 11:30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Focus on the promises of God. A heart focused on God is a heart focused on the ultimate goal, Zion, the place of rest. We are not here to stay here. This is not our home. Heaven is our home. We have a future beyond. In heaven, a glorious home. Focused heart. We need good friends, trusting friends, to help us and to guide us. It is in these times of intense struggle that our heart is very vulnerable. It is in some of these times where sometimes the devil comes in through unwise counsel and leads individuals astray. Last point is a servant heart, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. When God requires any service of his people, he will give them the strength and the means necessary for its performance. It's a quote from Family Bible Notes. When God requires any service of his people, he will give them the strength and the means necessary for its performance. One day of service to God is better than many days of living for self, as our brother mentioned in the devotions. God will give the water if we are willing to dig the well. God will give the water if we are willing to dig the well. Remember the widow woman, it's the story of Elijah. He told her, he said, well, make for me a little cake first. And she did. And her home was blessed. Well, bringing this to a close, the little captive maid of Naaman was used of God. The widow who cast in her two mites. Out of his own pain and suffering, Jesus reached out to those who were around him. One can hardly serve the needs of others with bitterness and resentment. You know, the people who can give the most comfort and consolation and encouragement are the ones who have gone through the same thing. Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. They go from strength to strength. Sometimes do you feel like you're just taking one step at a time? Just one step, one step. The important thing is keep stepping. Keep stepping. Heaven is our goal. We are bound for heaven. Some days these trials will all be over. They will be a thing of the past. But it's important today how we live and how we respond through the trials. God bless you. Thank you for your kind attention. I don't think we'll sing an invitation song tonight. The invitation is open. If God is calling you, make your needs known to a trusted friend, and we can help you. Come back again tomorrow night praying, and appreciate your prayers. God bless you.